As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me, as always, is production powerhouse Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Thanks for coming, JD. And today's guest is in peak summer mode, standing over a barbecue shirtless, brats on the grill, Grateful Dead on the Bluetooth speaker, Warren Burks on his feet, toenails painted purple, a family of birds nesting above the patio light, tomato garden in full bloom, the sweet smell of incense wafting through the air. But this idyllic scene will soon be torn asunder by the dastardly Adam Silver in the NBA season, where he'll be podcasting every day under the banner of No Dunks, the oldest and best basketball podcast on the planet. It's Trey Kirby. Trey, welcome back to Is This Good?
Heyo, great to be back. Got a couple of things right, got a couple of things wrong, Matt. Number one, we just added a new hummingbird feeder in the backyard. Pretty exciting. Saw one stop by today, take a look. Didn't take a sip, but hopefully they'll drink soon. On the flip side, though, I tried buying incense once and brought it home, and Laura was like, "What are you doing? You know I handle the smells around here." She didn't like the scent of pinons.
Quick question. What is with this trend? Or maybe this is not a trend, but on social media, I'm seeing hummingbird people. People are the hummingbird feeders. Do you know what I'm talking about? They dress up as like flowers and they put like goggles on their eyes, and then they set up like a straw that's coming out of their mouth so the hummingbird will land in front of them. Am I the only one that's seen this?
I have definitely seen this. Not the hummingbird version, but I've seen bird versions where people are, yeah, in camouflage basically, and just like goggles, and they let the bird land on their, basically on their nose, and they can watch close up, like, ooh.
It's too close.
It's way too close, yeah, I think.
But. Hey, Brian Cardinal, move back a few steps, okay? Like, we can't see you. You're out of focus. So that's the new trends in bird watching, which is what you come here for.
Yeah.
What's your favorite incense scent, Trey? Is it pinon? I enjoy pinon.
I do, too. I think it's good. But I don't know what my favorite scent is, because literally I brought in like one set of cones, burned a single cone, and was ostracized. Said, "You can't have that in here. Get those scents out of here. We're a Woodwick family only."
Interesting. Did you go through an incense phase as a kid? Because I did. Probably like the 7th or 8th grade, yeah. You realize you were allowed to burn something.
yeah.
It was very exciting. And my parents were like, "What the fuck?" Probably literally thought I was on drugs. Because what other reason is there to be burning sandalwood when you're 13 years old?
Exactly right. But it was cool to like visit a Spencer's Gifts, and they just had racks and racks of tiny little sticks that you could get, and like, yeah, I don't know, maybe you get like a cool gargoyle, put it in there, smoke all coming out of its nose and its mouth, smelling sort of good. I think that's the problem with incense, is it smells sort of good, but it still does smell a little like smoke.
Yeah, totally.
Who's in charge of smells at your house, JD?
God, the dogs, mainly. But yeah,
we are embarrassingly a Glade plug-in family now.
Fuck. Oh wow! I'm
honestly, yeah, my parents would be way more disappointed to learn about that than about the incense.
You brought a Glade home?
We never had like plug-in air fresheners, anything like that. We had to rely on cleaning things.
Yeah, you need it for those old dogs' ears, the old animals. You live with a cat box now, Matt. Ooh. This is
I know
it's, all
and
new
one of the cats
for you.
Pissed on the dog's bed this morning. It's been an exciting morning here. Trey, I had two questions for you things that I've seen in the wild. Well, one I actually saw on your Twitter account. You shared a picture of not an ad, but like the thumbnail for a workout.
Okay.
And the workout was 30-minute Motley Crue yoga flow with, of course, the great Dennis Morton. We're all big Dennis Morton fans.
Love Dennis.
Of course, when it comes to the yoga space. Did you do the 30-minute Motley Crue yoga flow, or did you just see it and thought it would be a great share?
The latter. I'm not a big Motley Crue guy. I'm not in the crew, but I did like some of the people saying that some of the songs that we played would be hits such as Kickstart My Chakra. But you know, Peloton does that often. They'll do like an entire set list. I don't think it should be called a set list, but that's what I'm calling it. Yeah. An entire set list of whatever a band. I've definitely done a Spice Girls one. I've definitely done a Disney one. But Motley Crue, yoga feels like an interesting juxtaposition.
I feel like Dennis could make it work though. Honestly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you actually know Dennis? I was kind of joking, but I guess you're both Peloton boys.
Well, I am for sure, and Dennis is my guy. Like, I've mentioned him multiple times on Peloton ads we've done. Yeah, he's the best.
Sorry for not listening.
The
sorry for
30 king.
Second skipping.
Wow, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Honestly.
I do apologize. And then, Trey, my other question is, speaking of trends like bird costuming,
mm-hmm.
have you heard of the Snackle Box?
Ooh. How have I heard about this? Have you heard this,
Let me guess. A snackle box is a tackle box filled with snacks.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it, baby.
Genius.
It's a roving charcuterie board. So if you haven't seen this on social media, imagine a tackle box, which when closed could be mistaken for a lunchbox, I suppose. But the premier feature of the tackle box is when you open it, it creates like two little tiers on each side, and you have your flies. What did we talk about last time, Trey? Mouthers.
Plugs.
Pluggers.
Jigs.
Yep.
Yeah. So instead of just having those in the tiny little squares, you would have like different meats and little baby bells and maybe some grapes and things like that. It's basically like the delicate sensibility of a Japanese bento box on American-made Monster Energy.
I actually think it's a pretty good idea. For the first and foremost, like when we send our kids to school, they're basically taking bento boxes filled with tiny little snacks. So like you're saying, pretty similar. Secondly, I always think it's such a precarious position. Like if you're going to a friend's house, you want to bring something. So maybe somebody makes a giant charcuterie board. And then all you're supposed to do is cover it in plastic wrap and throw it in the trunk or the back seat and hope it doesn't slide around like crazy. If the snackle box takes off, that's relieving a lot of stress from traveling to a party.
Totally.
But would you allow, say, like, let's say, I don't know, Laura's in charge of the smells. We know that.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's in charge of snacking or in charge of, like, if you're going to someone's house, bringing them a gift or contributing to a dinner. Would you let her use your tackle box to create a snackle box?
Oh, definitely not. I don't think anybody would want a used tackle box filled with snacks. Maybe not even a fish.
But she would clean it. But I guess what I'm worried about is then there's residue of like a fine brajol or something, and now when you're outside in the deep woods, the flies are attacking you.
So
you're more worried about the fish and the
nature reacting to human food than the other way around.
Yes,
I guess it's a
because
concern.
I think you could disinfect it.
There's no
to make
coming
it safe
no way.
For food.
No way.
There's no coming back. Psychologically, you couldn't do it.
So are you a two tackle box family then? One for fishing and one for snackles?
We've got multiple tackle boxes, but none have yet made the transition.
Do you think you could decommission one? Like, is there one you don't use a lot?
I've got some options. I mean, they're all filled right now with your various lures. But I love the idea. I don't know. I think if you went to the right theme party, like, that would be a huge hit. Right? You know, like, we're having an outdoors-themed dinner party or something like that. And somebody shows up with a snackle box full of cold cuts. Banger. People will be going crazy.
Oh shit, a snackle box is here.
Shut the party down.
Why did Trey bring a tackle box to dinner? That's so tacky. I can't believe it. Then you open it and it's like Pulp Fiction briefcase, you know, that light glowing. Is
totally
glowing. I think you should try it. JD, are you willing to eat from Trey's snackle box when he brings it to the Classic Factory for your classic company picnic on Monday?
I mean, 100%, if it's only been a snackle box. That's not right. If it's been a tackle box.
So you would ask that first. You would say, has this been used for tackle?
I think you can tell it's probably. Intended purpose,
you would know.
Right? You'd know.
Well, don't they make tackle boxes in your hometown? Wasn't that what your hometown's famous for?
Absolutely right. Plano Molding, world's biggest producer of plastic tackle boxes. They did diversify at one point, making the caboodle, which was just for, like, beads and, you know, little strings and stuff like that. It was just a tackle box, but they gave it rounded edges, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Put a mirror
in
it.
Okay, so then – so they can easily – change the assembly line like here and there, and now they're throwing out snackle boxes, specifically snackle box engineered. Maybe some of the holes are larger for like a full slice of Havarti, and then
I'd like a circle so you can throw some crackers in, probably.
Oh, so a Ritz, the Ritz compartment?
The Ritz compartment, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anyways, I think I'm sure you still have connections to your hometown, so maybe you could pitch that to them.
All right, next time I'm back, I'm going to stop by the factory. I have a brilliant idea. Check out these TikToks.
And they're like, why do you want us to make human bird feeders? They're like, oh, sorry. No, scroll one down.
It's a different one.
It's a different one. All right, some quick housekeeping. If you are listening on the No Dunks feed, thank you for checking out the show. We have our own podcast feed. It's called Is This Good? Not very surprising. We have our own YouTube channel called Is This Good? Subscribe to that. I just want to remind you that when summer ends, you will not be able to find this show in the No Dunks feed. You will have to subscribe to the Is This Good feed. But do it now because you're missing an extra show every week. That show is called The Great Beyond. It's a companion pod to Is This Good? JD and I hop on. We talk about, you know, whatever's going on in our lives. Like, why JD's wife is really angry with me. We talked about that. We talked about the Alpha Male Guide to Glassware. That was an important conversation that I think all people need to revisit. We talked about a group of high schoolers inspired by our show who did a unpopular opinions bracket in the first week of school to get to know each other. And a listener wrote in and promised to track down the graffiti man who broke my girlfriend's side view mirror. He says he has a lot of connections in the LA graffiti scene, and he's going to analyze the tag that I showed on this show. Of course, you'd only be able to see it if you were watching on YouTube. Is this good? Subscribe. And yeah, he's going to track him down. So it's all very positive what's happening here.
Yeah.
So subscribe to Is This Good? We have merch, isthisgoodpod.com, to get the Is This Good retro logo, tee, or hoodie. And you can, of course, send topics to me at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Trey, the premise of the show, it hasn't changed. It's still very simple. I'm going to give you a topic. You tell me if it's good. Here we go. Convertible pants. Are they good? What the hell is a convertible pant? Well, Nick from Canada explains in an email. Hey, Matt and JD. I was sitting outside eating lunch today in Toronto, and I saw a guy on a bench zipping on his pants to his shorts. I had two thoughts. One, I remember having those as a kid. So sick. And two, maybe a weird choice for an adult. I also thought, I must get the opinion of the ITG guys. Do you have these? Would you wear them? Are they good? Cheers, Nick from Canada. So I'm glad this question came up when you're on the show, Trey, because you are, I mean, a fashion influencer to me. You've been in Gentleman's Quarterly. That's GQ for the uninitiated, okay?
Only the online magazine edition, Matt. It's never officially been printed, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Do you think they'll go back and print it, that article from,
you still like these things?
What, 7 years ago at this point? All right, so we all know what I'm talking about now. So it's a pair of pants. You could zip them off, and they can become shorts. You could throw those bottom half O pants in your backpack, and when it gets cold, you could zip them back on. Did you ever have these, Trey? Or do you have them now?
It's a no to both. I've never had a pair of zip-off convertible pants, and I currently don't have a pair of zip-off convertible pants. When I was in high school, I definitely remember, though, having a few pairs of, like, probably like a nylon pant. I don't even know what it would have been made of, but it would you would be able to roll them up, and they would have, like, little...
the little...
Like, little tethers, and then you could tether it to the side, a little button on the side, so maybe you could have shorts, or, like, a below-the-knee short, or even a capri if you were going crazy. So I had those, which are kind of similar. Would I wear them today? No. Unless I was doing outdoors stuff, and then I think it would be perfect for, like... If you're on a camping trip, you probably only need to bring one pair of convertible pants, and then you're good for any scenario. Otherwise... It's rare for me to be wearing clothes and think, I wish I was wearing 50% less of these clothes.
Right. Or 50% more.
Or 50% more. Yeah, that's true.
Though, is it 50%? That's my gripe with these pants.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't know. JD, have you
ever
worn them?
Not a perfect split?
Because you're... I'd like to compare to you because you're tall. You're about 6 feet.
Right.
For me, if I zipped off the pants... I would be wearing capris, essentially.
Right.
They're not made for short people.
Yeah, I guess. I never really thought about that. What wouldn't they
make?
Yeah,
why would you?
Don't the proportions change?
But don't they make shorts for people your size?
They haven't figured it out.
They haven't figured it out, really?
No, I mean, they figured out how to make shorts. And also, I've been benefiting from the 3 to 5 inch inseam, which is in fashion right now with shorts.
Yes.
Though, actually, I guess it's kind of out of fashion now.
Is it?
But, yeah, we've gone longer. We've gone baggier.
They go back
but
and forth.
Somehow with the zip-off pants, they never fit right to me.
Right. So you have but had a pair.
Oh, yeah, I have had a pair. Because, like, I when you would travel, kind of like you were saying, Trey, well, you said for camping, but there was this sort of school of thought of traveling that my parents tried to convince me into. They're like, you're going away? You know what you need? Two Tilly shirts. That's it. You throw them in the sink, they dry in 7 seconds, okay? They got 9 pockets each, okay? You're storing everything in there.
Right.
So it's like, you know, they wanted me to go on vacation and look like a divorced archaeologist or something.
Did they get you a Tilly hat to go with the shirts?
I never had a Tilly hat, but of course... the story all starts with a Tilly hat, and then the company said, we do the hats so well, maybe we outfit the rest of the body. But the zip-off pants were a part of this, because how can you argue with the logic, kind of like what Trey said? It's like, you only need one.
Yeah.
You want to wear shorts? They're shorts. You want to wear pants? They're pants.
Right.
But in practice, it looks bad as both, is where I'm going to land on this one.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I also think that it's a one-way trip. For me, like, you're wearing the pant, they're wearing them as pants the day or the moment I decide I need them to be shorts, they're shorts forever. Because what do you do with the pants part, like the long part?
You put them in the pockets.
No, they go right in the trash.
Zipping your pant pockets off, putting them into your shirt pockets and carrying them around.
Yeah.
Hey, what's in your pants pocket? Pants?
I mean, it would be better if it became...
Hey, what's that in your pocket? Oh, those are pants.
Those are pants.
Are those pants in your pocket or just happy to see me? No, it's pants, actually. I had sweaty knees.
Look, you can put pants in your pants pocket, but you can't put shorts in your pants pocket. Because if you take off the shorts, then there's no more pockets.
No shorts. Right.
You see?
Yeah.
You see? Which actually brings up another point, that it's a topriarchal society.
What?
Here's what I'm workshopping this
it is?
As we go. Okay. When it comes to your torso, you could easily regulate temperature, right? Like, let's say you start with a t-shirt, you get a bit nippy, you could put on... even a looser long sleeve t-shirt, or you could put on a hoodie, or you could put on a zip-up sweater, or a cardigan, or a vest, or a hoodie and then a vest over it. Like, you know what I mean? You can keep getting progressively and progressively warmer.
Yes.
Your legs, very difficult. You know, they're more vulnerable. Like, you're wearing shorts. You can't so add vulnerable. To the shorts to get warmer. Once you're wearing shorts, you have to take off the shorts to get warmer.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You're wearing a t-shirt, you add on. You don't need to take off the t-shirt. Shorts. Is this making any sense?
We got a lot of layering options on our upper half.
Yeah.
So yes, people are trying to solve the equation down below.
Right.
What happens if my legs get hot? Sorry, you gotta just deal with your hot legs or cold legs.
That's right.
Right, it's a topriarchal society, right? As I was saying.
Well, to be fair, all your vital organs are in the top half of you, right?
Yes.
There's nothing vital in the bottom half of you. That's
well, there's point. Your genitals, I suppose.
But not you don't need them to survive.
I mean, also, think about it. Have you ever had cold genitals? Like, I can't think of a single time in my life where I was like, God damn, my genitals are cold.
Well,
but also you
I've had
never,
blue balls.
Yeah, I'm like,
but that's not from when they get cold. Genitals. That's not from when they get cold.
But I was never like, oh, my genitals are cold. I need to zip on some pants so my shins warm up and heat up everything else.
Exactly.
Doesn't
exactly
make sense.
Right.
Right. I think Janie's right. Once you make the decision, it's like you might have convertible pants, but you really have either a pair of shorts or a pair of pants with a seam across it. Because how often are you switching back and forth? Yeah. Probably rare.
It's a break in case of emergency kind of thing. And it's only if you're hot. If you're getting cold, then you got to just change your pants. Unless somehow it becomes in fashion to have the cuffs remain at your feet. You know what I mean? Like leg warmers, sort of. Like...
that's great.
The pants.
So you unzip them and you're like, oh, where do I put these?
Just
I don't need to put them anywhere because the shoe keeps them in place.
Yeah, we need Taylor Swift to like do that once or something. And then it'll be in for a year at least, right? So.
Yeah. Well, Trey, as someone that's been on the online version of Gentleman's Quarterly, what do you think of that? Do you think you could pull that off?
Walking around with pant legs just hanging around my ankles. Look like you're always in the bathroom without going to the bathroom.
That's right, yeah.
Pretty interesting. I think it's got a chance.
Well, but people have, of course, been sagging their pants
forever.
Decades.
That's never gone away somehow.
But we've never had shorts pulled up to the quote unquote correct height, but the bottom of the pants are sagging. I think.
How can this have never been a
thing here?
I think so too.
All right. Trey, I'd like you to do, if you're ever bored this week, a couple of pieces of content you could do for the old Is This Good crew. You could make a snackle box.
Yeah. Okay.
And you could wear convertible pants with the bottom half of the pants around your ankles. Of course, you said you don't have a pair.
No, but you could easily get a tackle box and convertible pants at the same place. Walmart, Dick's, take your choice.
REI.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, 71% of people say convertible pants are not good. Yeah. I'm not even sure they're called convertible pants, to be honest. What else would zip-off pants? I guess.
Yeah.
Convertible pants, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. The roof is the shin.
Right.
Right?
Roof is the shin.
Exactly. Exactly right.
You thought Michael Jordan saying the roof is the ceiling was the craziest comparison to a roof you've ever heard? Not anymore.
That's why when I'm in a car and the top comes down, I'm like, the shin.
Oh, my shin's out.
The shin, the automotive shins are out. All right, what the hell am I talking about? Christopher C. asks, singers swapping genders in a cover song. Is this good? So, got an email for you here. Hey, Matt and JD. I've seen this a lot on YouTube and at live shows. When some singers are covering a song, typically men, they often switch any lyrics involving gender. So, for example, pronouns go from feminine to masculine. They change words like queen to king, Juliet to Romeo, etc. A more specific example would be Michael Bublé singing Santa Buddy rather than singing Santa Baby. This feels like it may be due to fragile masculinity. The singer thinks they will come across as less manly if they sing the original lyrics. Trey wants to stop the show right now and hear Michael Bublé's version of
Santa
Buddy.
Buddy?
Has anyone heard? Have you heard
that's
this?
That's awesome.
If we play it, will this get DMCA?
100%. 100%.
It's a buddy. Okay, that makes me think good instantly, because that is very funny.
All right, so where was I? Okay, singer thinks it will come across as less manly if they sing the original lyrics. You're covering Taylor Swift. We're well aware you didn't write this song, and these lyrics are not about you. Just like we're well aware that Michael Bublé isn't trying to fuck Santa Claus. Just let loose, have fun, and sing the lyrics of the song you want to sing. But maybe I'm wrong. Can changing lyrics ever be good? Well, Christopher C., you've already convinced Trey in your email. But Trey, what do you think? Swapping genders in a cover song, is this good?
I guess I never really thought about it, but it does happen. And it happened for me recently. When we're making pizza at home, I like to play Dean Martin. That's Ain't Love a Kick in the Head. And of course, Mambo Italiano is in the list. I didn't know it was a cover. But apparently it's a Rosemary Clooney cover.
Oh, okay.
So in the Dean Martin version, it starts out, a boy went back to Napoli. In the original version, it's a girl went back to Napoli. Oh. And the Rosemary Clooney version is so much better that I've had to replace it on the playlist, but actually just add it on because I don't have that many pizza songs yet. So I guess I just hadn't thought about it. It seems like probably something that's unnecessary, but that will always happen. So I don't know if that means it's good.
That will always happen. Well, okay, so here's a recent example where the singer didn't swap the gender. Luke Combs did a cover of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car, which is, you know, everywhere on the radio. Well, especially if you listen to country music radio, but huge hit this summer. There's that line in the song where she says, now work in the market as a checkout girl. He kept it. He didn't say, I work in the market as a checkout man. Well, checkout boy. He just kept it as checkout girl, which was sort of refreshing, right? Keeps the song
intact.
Yeah,
I like it, actually.
That's how it was written.
Yep.
I found some funny examples of this. Okay, so like, for instance, Sheryl Crow does a cover of Sweet Child of Mine, and obviously the song starts, she's got a smile that it seems to me. She starts hers, he's got a smile. To me, completely unnecessary, because, right?
Yeah.
It's a child of mine.
100%.
That could, you know, a daughter.
You could be talking about your daughter.
She could have a daughter.
She does have sons, though. Hold on. She does have sons. So maybe that's why. Oh. Maybe she made it personal.
You know the gender of Sheryl Crow's spawn?
I know everything about Sheryl Crow. Now, I heard her on an interview once, and I'm pretty sure she was talking about her boys specifically.
Okay, so JD's giving her a pass on that one.
I'm giving her a pass.
Cher does a cover of Walking in Memphis. And you know at the end when the song kind of breaks down and he goes, Muriel plays piano every Friday at the Hollywood. They brought me down to see her, and they asked me if I would do a little now. You write that part?
Yeah.
Okay. She changes it to Gabriel plays the piano.
Huh.
Why? Like, I don't think the we're supposed to infer that Mark Cohn is like into Muriel who's playing the piano.
Right.
Are we?
Maybe.
But Cher's like, well, I want to fuck him. So if it's it can't be Muriel. It's got to be Gabriel. Very weird one. Did you know Rod Stewart covered You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman and changed it to You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Man?
I did not know that.
Which is just the wrong number of syllables.
Crazy.
You're thinking it should have been You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Bro-Man? Really sell it?
You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Dude, Bro? And it's exactly what you think, because in the chorus, it's just like, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Man. Very, very bad.
That seems like an Austin Powers bit.
It
totally
does.
So why do it? That's the question. Like, why do the song at all? Like,
cover that song at all? That's not calling out for a cover, especially to gender swap. But here's some. So I think people will say, and when I say I think, I'm saying that because I just realized I forgot to put this poll up on Twitter. But I think people would say it's bad to change the gender. I don't know. Yeah. JD, what do you think the people would say?
What would the people say? I have no goddamn idea what these people say, but I think they would say it was bad. Yeah, like sing it just the way it was written. There's no reason.
Okay, what about?
And by the way, Michael Bublé saying Santa Buddy
Yeah.
instead of Santa Baby. It still sounds like you want to fuck Santa.
Hey, buddy.
I mean, it's not as if somebody has never said the phrase, "Hey, buddy, you want to have sex?" You know, that's definitely happened.
Well, but as my Christian brethren, are there any lyrics in Santa Baby that imply, like, I know it's very, it's kind of cooed sexually. Like, Santa Baby.
There's definitely a part like where the original's like asking for a diamond ring, you know, as like as an engagement gift sort of deal. So I wonder
for
if he changed that as
them
well.
To get married? Or for
is she trying
her
to marry Santa? Or maybe just like
But it's the same conceit as I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. Like Santa's dad, like in that scenario, right? So it's your partner,
sure,
right? It's the mom telling the dad, "I want a diamond ring," right?
Well,
also probably true. Yeah, I'm googling it together, but you're right. Santa buddy, that's too good.
I almost feels like reading these lyrics, like she's being very coquettish in the way she asks Santa, in that if Santa is attracted to her, he will be more likely to buy her the presents. Right. Is that?
I would assume.
But you're saying the conceit is that she knows that Santa is not real. She knows that Santa is her husband. So when she's saying Santa baby, she's really saying husband baby.
Yeah, that's sort of what I took away from it. But
yeah, you're probably, well, Trey, you had.
I did a quick Google here. There are quite a few references, like. For the original, it's "Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed." And in Michael Bublé's version, it's "Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the hotties that I never kissed."
still reads to me like he
what
wants to
loser.
Fuck Santa.
Think of all the hotties that I never kissed. He also, in his version, calls Santa Pally quite a bit. Pally. So now I'm on the other side. This is really bad. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
It's stupid.
Santa Chief.
It's like, if it makes you that uncomfortable, don't cover the song. I mean, there's Christmas songs you could cover. Anyway.
Okay, I want to give you the best counterexample to when it's good when you swap the genders.
Okay.
Three words: Aretha Franklin, respect.
Okay.
Okay. Iconic feminist anthem,
sure.
Originally written by Otis Redding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think there's really very many lines that are like, well, I think he says, "Hey, little girl, you're sweeter than honey. I want to give you all my money." And she says, "Your kiss is sweeter than honey. And guess what? So is my money." So I think that's like the one gender line swap, but
sure.
Makes so much more sense coming from a woman. And I mean, she added the respect part,
right?
TCB, which isn't in the original song, but that's not really a gender thing. But anyways, when someone says like, "I don't like it when people swap the genders," you say Aretha Franklin, respect, they shut up immediately. Okay.
You're right about that. Yep.
And now, can I give you another one that great counterexample?
Please do.
This one has more, I don't know how many words this is. Is O in an Irish last name a word? Does that count as a word? Like,
Baba O'Reilly?
Yeah. Is that three words or two words?
Two, I thought.
Two. Okay. So
O'Reilly?
This is five.
Yeah, like one.
This
name.
Is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. Great.
O'Neill.
This is great.
Yeah.
Glad I went through the sex exercise. Sinead O'Connor.
Yes.
Nothing compares to you. Right? Yeah. Written by Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And in the. He says. When he goes, "I went to the doctor, guess what he told me?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you better," whatever. And in her, she said, he said, "Girl, you better," right?
Yeah.
So she swaps the genders there, and it's like fucking, it's an amazing song.
100%.
The definitive version, no question.
Okay. I'm saying it's good. You
I'm
convinced
good.
Me. You convinced me.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that 99% of people on Twitter said it was not good, but they were
wild
wrong.
Stuff.
People don't know what they're talking about.
It is crazy stuff.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Trey, when people need help navigating life's biggest decisions, they seek our wise counsel, and we deliver an airtight verdict. It's time to settle this. Reminder that if you need advice or have found yourself in a quandary or a pickle, email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Tell us what's going on. We will help you, just like we're about to help this person. I have some late breaking news, though. When that sting was playing, I did look down at my phone. I do apologize, JD. You know, we have a rule, no looking at phones.
Yeah.
Okay, it is 9:55 now when we're recording this, correct?
Correct.
I'm just checking for veracity's sake. I literally got a text at 9:32. I'm going to hold it up so you can see I'm not lying. And it says, I need to do some alterations to my trousers. Do you have time tomorrow? Okay. This is a real text I just got. Should I text back? You don't need alterations. Just unzip.
I got the idea for you.
Unzip the pants, sir. Anyways, that's quite a little... The universe knows about this show.
Synchronicity.
And the universe has vaulted it to number one on the iTunes chart. All right, Trey, here we go. So I did want to say as a tiny bit of a preamble, I don't know if you heard the show that I did. We did with... I believe it was Tass, and we asked him about cookies, which would be the worst kind of cookie to bring to someone's house. And I did, unfortunately, take your wife's name in vain. I said that she's a big fan of Tate's cookies, which I hate, though JD loves them too, so maybe I'm alone on this one. But I want to give you the opportunity to come on and talk about cookies because, you know, I spoke about your wife and cookies, so here is your chance now to present your side of a completely unrelated topic, but it still is about cookies. Hi, Mattio and JD, fabled heroes of basketball podcast lore. You talked about cookies on your last show and proved you have the expertise to help me settle an argument I had with my girlfriend. She and I were sat in a dessert bar in the UK deciding what to order when she started laughing at me for thinking that a double chocolate chip cookie means a regular cookie with twice the amount of chocolate chips inside. Something my girlfriend took great pleasure in informing me does not exist. Instead, the double part of chocolate chip cookie implies that the batter with which the regular amount of chocolate chips is mixed into is made with chocolate as well. Honestly, I still don't get it. If a regular batter cookie with chocolate chips is named a chocolate chip cookie, then a double chocolate chip cookie implies that's what what's multiplied is the chocolate, i.e. the chips inside. I think what she calls a double chocolate chip cookie should be named either a chocolate chip cookie, a chocolate cookie with chips, or a triple chocolate cookie if it's chocolate batter with double chips. You didn't need that one, okay? Emailer, now you've confused even me, and I've read this email three times because I was confused the first two times. You didn't need to throw that in. All right, back to the email. Anyway, she's starting to make fun of me in group chat, so I throw it to you. Please help me settle who's right. Regards, Elliot, son of Kevin from Oxford, England. So basically what Elliot's saying, even though it's confusing as fucking hell, a double chocolate chip cookie doesn't mean a regular chocolate chip cookie with twice the amount of chocolate chips. It means that the batter of the cookie itself is chocolate, so black, and inside is chocolate chips. Therefore, it's a double. The batter is chocolate. The chocolate chips are chocolate. Double. He's saying that doesn't make sense to him because it sounds what the double is referring to is the amount of chocolate chips. So the batter would just be the regular, you know, light brown beige cover of a chocolate chip cookie. And inside it would have twice the amount of chocolate chips.
Right.
So settle this, Trey. Is he right? Or at least is what he's saying, does it make any sense to you?
Well, I think Elliot, son of Kevin, is right and he's wrong. The name is weird. Double chocolate chip. How can you know what they're doubling up? But here's why he's wrong. There's not a standard amount of chocolate chips you put into a chocolate chip cookie. There's no way to look at one chocolate chip cookie and then look at a second chocolate chip cookie and be like, oh, that one has double the chips. Maybe that's just how you make the recipe. Maybe somebody likes their chocolate chip cookie a little bit more doughier.
Hold on a second, Trey. I don't mean to interrupt you, but if we all close our eyes and think of like a classic Chips Ahoy cookie, we would know if there was double the amount or way more chocolate. Like, you would look and be like, wow, there's a lot of chocolate chips in this one, wouldn't you?
Maybe. I wouldn't be looking at a Chips Ahoy. I'd be looking at a Tate's. Yeah, and it would stick out because they're very, very thin. But no, the chips, it might not hold together. Look, yeah, I guess you could visually assess if there's more or less chips. But I don't know. I thought everybody knew that a double chocolate chip meant it's a dark chocolate cookie with the chips in there as well. Like you're saying, a chocolate cookie with chips, that sounds like a ridiculous name, not to mention the triple chocolate. Mm-hmm. Right. I would also say perhaps you would use double chocolate chip in the way that Elliot's saying here, if you put like a milk chocolate chip and a dark chocolate chip in it, or
yeah,
if
that
you
makes
put a
sense
chip
to me.
And a chunk, two different styles
yes.
of chocolate chip.
Interesting.
But just doubling
what about,
the quantity,
the chunk?
I feel
Where
like that's just
chunk?
Making it good.
I agree, but I think I'm with Elliot, son of Kevin, on this one, because when I hear double chocolate chip, I'm thinking it's going to have double the chocolate chips, not. And I am. Right. I would be surprised if I got a chocolate chip cookie, a chocolate cookie with chocolate chips in it. Like it just would. It just doesn't make sense grammatically. It doesn't make sense because in our culture, a chocolate chip cookie is called a chocolate chip cookie because it's a cookie that has chocolate chips in it. So if you say, "How would you like to have a double chocolate chip cookie?" I'm saying, "Hell yeah, double the chocolate chips. I'm in." And then I'm getting a chocolate cookie. I mean, I'm not disappointed, but I'm also like, I was kind of hoping I'd get double the chocolate chips. You know what I'm saying? I think the suggestion of a chocolate cookie with, wait a minute. What did he say?
A chocolate chip cookie?
A chocolate chocolate chip cookie is the way to go. You have to say that.
Okay. But no one's writing that on the board of cookies where they're like,
I know.
White chocolate macadamia.
And it's causing confusion.
Oatmeal raisin. Chocolate chip. People just think that there's like a typo.
I guess. But I hear what Trey is saying as well. Like there is a there is no standard. If I'm at Moo Milk Bar and I'm like, oh, Danielle puts a lot of chocolate chips in this chocolate chip cookie or not.
Right.
Like, you know. So how would you know if it was double or not? But I also agree with you, Matt. If I'm getting a Tate's or a Chips Ahoy and it's like, God damn, there's a lot of chocolate chips in here. It's like a double chocolate chip cookie. That's what it's going to feel like. I feel like you need to say that the cookie itself is chocolate. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because like for Oreos.
Yeah.
I guess most people think the best part is the cream or... I don't know. Is that wrong to say, do you think?
No, I think you're right. That's where they're experimenting the most. So it's got to be the hero ingredient.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, but when they say double stuff, they're obviously stuffing the middle, the best part. So when you say double chocolate chip, I am kind of thinking, why shouldn't that be just more chocolate chips?
Yeah. But if you're at a bakery and they've got a chocolate chip cookie and a double chocolate chip cookie next to each other, that would really hurt the sales of the original chocolate chip cookie because who's going to pick it?
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. Who wants less chips? That's
No, some people. Some people don't order the chocolate croissant. They just order the croissant.
Right.
Well, that's going from zero to none.
Okay, but what about a chocolate croissant?
Oh, a double chocolate croissant.
A double chocolate croissant.
I think they call that a babka.
That's a great... It is an interesting point because other desserts don't have this problem, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to think of...
Let's back up.
A double blueberry scone.
Mm.
Would that be more blueberries inside or would it be the batter is made from a blueberry?
It sounds to me like there's more blueberries. There's double the amount of blueberries in a double blueberry scone.
What's a blueberry muffin? Is it a regular white muffin with blueberries in it? Or is it blueberries in the batter? And the whole thing is bluish, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because both exist.
You're right.
This goes straight to the top.
Let's go straight to the top.
But let's
of the muffin.
Let's back up for it even further. Do we need a double chocolate chip cookie? Like, it's kind of like a hat on a hat, is it not? Like the chocolate cookie with the chocolate chips.
I don't actually like double chocolate
Same.
Chip cookie. I'm
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want it either.
It's the
but that's why I don't
but
like
But I do like it with more chips in it. Double the chips.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean a double chocolate chip cookie?
Yeah, we should just standardize the double chocolate chip as the cookie.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Okay, well, I think we're all weirdly agreeing with Elliot, even though we all know he's wrong, which is fine.
I'm not saying he's wrong.
Oh, you're saying he's... But you also said, in explaining why you think he's right, you have to acknowledge that everyone believes that a double chocolate chip cookie is a chocolate battered cookie with chocolate chips.
I mean, again, not me. I'm with Elliot. If I see double chocolate chip cookie, I think that it's double chocolate chips. It's just that's where my brain goes. Just like a blueberry or double anything.
Well, there's no such thing as double blueberry, but in our culture, we love...
How dare you suggest that?
Chocolate on chocolate desserts are prized, like death by chocolate. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let's just fit the most amount of chocolate ganache and fudge and batter. In a cake, what is the middle part of the cake called?
Batter. Sponge, if you will.
Sponge, yeah.
When it's cooked.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't like that. I want some contrast.
Same.
I want vanilla with a flare of chocolate.
Yeah, you don't like a heavy chocolate dessert. You would never order a double chocolate chip cookie.
Never, never. So, Elliot, I don't know if this has ever happened, but even though all three of us know you're wrong, we are all with you. We support you.
He certainly doesn't deserve to be ridiculed on a group chat by his girlfriend.
No, your girlfriend's got to calm down. Also, shout out for being in a dessert bar in the UK.
Right?
Crazy. Do we have dessert bars here? I guess.
Moo Milk Bar.
Yeah, there used to be.
All right. Trey, not everyone is going to agree with everything you say, but when you believe something deeply to your core, you have to stand alone on the edge of popular consensus. It's time for Unpopular Opinions. If you have strongly held beliefs that most people disagree with, email them to me at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Today, Trey, though, I have the unpopular opinions. These are my unpopular opinions that I am presenting to you. The first one. I'm going to start with a story. It's 2013. We all moved to Atlanta. In our first season at NBA TV, so now it's February 2014, it's the All-Star Game. It's in New Orleans. There is a storm coming to Atlanta. They're not sure we're going to be able to get out on the, you know, commercial flight that they booked us on, in economy, of course. So they say, we have chartered a private jet. You guys will come on this private jet. So we flew on the private jet from Atlanta to New Orleans, which is not a long flight. And it produced what I think is probably the funniest picture of me. JD, if you could please put it up. This is me on a private plane looking fucking miserable. I am sitting on a bench. There's people on either side of me. Trey, I even wonder if that's you to the left of me.
I suppose that could be my leg. I thought I took this picture, though.
Okay. Yeah. It is a long leg.
So
anyways,
it's a loose pant on the long leg.
Loose pant, long leg. Yep. Yeah.
I look miserable on this private plane. So you guys have always made fun of me for this. But I was listening to How Long Gone, a podcast that Trey, I know you listened to as well. Did you listen to the one with the chain smokers on it?
No.
It just came out. Okay. In it, the chain smokers, this, you know, super famous, popular band or DJ duo, whatever they are, they said that flying private is worse than flying commercial. Now, of course, they're talking about first class and commercial, but their argument was, unless it's your private plane, if it's someone that offers to fly you out, then you're just sitting on a bench, you can't recline, there's no TV, it's not as good as flying first class, where you have your own pod, you could lie down, you could sleep, there's people, you know, coming to serve you, which I guess would probably be on a private plane too, but there's just more amenities in first class than there is on a private plane. So my unpopular opinion, flying private is worse than flying commercial, if you're talking first class commercial, which I've never sat in, but it looks lovely. Trey, what do you think?
My main first class airline flying experience is with Spirit Airlines.
Ooh, they have first, a first class?
Cost me $35, JD, to sit first class in a Spirit Airlines. And what you get for first class is a regular size seat.
Right.
the regular size seat you get on any other airline, that's first class in Spirit Airlines. So it does feel very luxurious because it feels like you're flying on a real airline.
Right.
I don't know. This This is hard to judge because I've only ever been on one private flight as well, Matt, and I thought it was awesome. But you're right. There's not a lot of amenities. You see in the picture, you're just sitting on a bench right there. They did, I feel like, have baskets of snacks,
yeah.
which may have just been taken from the Turner offices because there was baskets of snacks around there all the time as well. But you don't have to wait in line, which was a great thing. You know, we showed up to the airport. We just walked out on the tarmac, walked up the stairs, and we were on the plane ready to go. That's a huge advantage. Yeah. But my guess is that if you're at Chainsmokers level, they're not waiting in security lines to get on their first class flights. So maybe you're right, but in my experience, flying private one time ever, it was cool. But maybe if you're doing it regularly, not so much.
You identified the best part of flying private, I think, which is just that you don't have to go to the regular airport and you just, there's not really any security, and you just walk from the terminal across the tarmac onto the plane. Takes no time. So for a short flight, I agree that that would, I'll sit on a bench to have that convenience of boarding. But if it's a long flight, give me my own little sleepy pod with my own little TV.
JD, there were chairs, though. There were chairs.
I was in a chair.
But that's my point.
JD had a chair. Dennis Scott had a chair. The big wigs.
Exactly. The big wigs.
I just was smart, and I waited and to be the last person on the plane. So I got the very front seat.
Yeah.
But I had to face somebody. I can't remember who I was facing, but whoever it was, you know, we were sort of persona non grata at that time at NBA TV.
And we had just got there, so that wasn't good.
Yeah, no, it was not good at all. But so it was awkward. I mean, I'm 100% with you, Matt. I would much rather fly first class, except for the whole, you know, going through security and stuff that you don't have to do. I mean, the coolest thing about flying private, I just remember being in the lounge of the little tiny airport, and the pilot comes up to you and says, where are we off to today? Like, we could have said anything. We could have said Buenos Aires, and we would have ended up in Buenos Aires. You know what I mean?
Any non-extradition country, sir.
But yeah.
So you don't think I'm crazy? Okay, good.
I definitely not. I'm with you.
I think that I was crazy. But again, caveat being, if it's your private plane and you've got like a circular bed in the back, then sure, fly private.
Yeah, yeah.
But if someone is flying you on their private plane, it's not as good as first class. Mm-mm. Even though I've never sat in first class. All right, that's a weird one. All right, here's one that I didn't really fully realize was an unpopular opinion, but I said it to Jill. She looked at me very cockeyed, and then I ran it by some other people, and they said, I'm not so sure that's correct there. So now I think this might be an unpopular opinion. Okay. Here it is. If your partner cheats on you, the person they cheat on you with bears zero responsibility for the cheating. So in other words, I hate to do this, but it's easier just to do it with names that we know. So if Jill cheated on me with Tom Collins.
Yeah.
Oh, Tom Collins would bear no responsibility. In other words, I would blame Jill 100%. I wouldn't blame Jill 50% and Tom Collins 50%. That's my opinion. Do you think that I'm wrong about that?
Yeah, I think you're probably wrong, but it depends. I think probably the closeness between significant other and whoever the person is obviously going to factor in it. I'm thinking specifically about the Vanderpump Rules Scandoval, where Tom Sandoval started sleeping with Rachel behind his partner Ariana's back. You know, Rachel and Ariana, they were close. So it hurt Ariana even more that Tom would do this with somebody she knows. If it was some random Miami girl, which was earlier in the series run, it didn't seem to hit quite as hard, though there wasn't quite the same amount of proof. But my guess is that the other person definitely factors into how angry the person you're cheating on would be.
Hmm. Okay, that's a great point. So how about if I add this caveat? If your partner cheats on you, the person they cheat on you with bears zero responsibility unless you know them. Like, unless they're your friend. Or unless they're in your social circle. So if it's a complete stranger, then
I guess I would say probably one stranger is the same as any other stranger. But yeah, okay, it's friends and acquaintances, definitely different.
Yeah. So this person is a complete stranger. Say they're single. Why is it their fault? It's your partner's is in a relationship. They know they're going to hurt you. They made the choice. They're responsible for it. I'm not gonna defray the blame by being like, well, it wasn't completely your fault because Tom is very sexy and convincing. I'm
tall.
You know what I mean?
Like, cool, refreshing.
That's right. JD, what do you think? And I know that you've been cheated on because you once in school wrote a story about it that was read out loud.
I did not write the story about it. Somebody interviewed me about it and just got it out of me somehow. So it wasn't like I was writing a story about getting cheated on.
Well, whatever. You told us a story was told in class in college.
Yes.
Of you, I don't know, how old were you?
At the time I was 18 or so. So, you know.
And what happened? Just
A girlfriend of mine was cheating on me. That's it. I found out the hard way, showed up at her place, and caught them in the act.
Ooh, yeah.
And I blamed her 100%.
Did you know the guy?
100%. I did not.
Okay, great. Okay, and you blamed her 100%. You were probably angry at this guy. You probably hated this guy, but it wasn't his
fault. I mean, she was like super hot. Like, and she too was 18. I was like, almost like I couldn't blame him. You know what I mean?
Right. So he was Tom Collins.
He was Tom Collins for sure. Yeah. I mean, and we've been going out for a couple of years or whatever, and it was
ooh,
time.
That's tough.
I mean, we're 18.
It was time for her to end it by cheating on you?
Yeah, I mean, she could have been like, you know what? I'm moving on. So
I mean, that would have been the mature thing to do.
But it would have been, but again, she was 18, I would have a difficult time not putting 100% of the blame on somebody. But, you know, again, if Rachel cheated on me with somebody that we knew, I would definitely be upset with the person. But it would pretty much fall on I would blame Rachel.
The difference between a stranger and somebody you know is that the person you know will likely be aware of your relationship, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with whoever it is, like just anybody you meet out, you never know what conversations transpire. Do you even know if your partner was relaying, I'm in a relationship right now, if they're just trying to get it in?
Yeah. Yeah,
but I think even if it's the single stranger, and even if he knows that you're in a relationship, I still don't think it's their responsibility, because it's your responsibility not to cheat on your partner. Now, I don't think it's ethical of the person to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's right. I don't think it's nice. But if I am angry and I want someone to blame, I am 100% blaming the person that cheats. And 0% blaming the other person. I don't think that person is a good person, but I don't think it's their fault.
Right.
That's my
ultimately. I agree with you.
Okay, Trey's on the fence, but I think Trey is more convinced once I added the caveat that it's not a friend of yours or someone that knows you.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, the proximity of partner and stranger. Of course, you're going to be primarily upset with your partner.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Be kind. Just break up with someone if you're going to cheat on them. That's all.
Yeah. So, Jill, listen up. It's going to be 100% your fault. So,
it's going to be 100% your fault. Jill. Well, she was saying that it's not. I was once in the situation where I was other guy one time, long time ago, many years, decades ago. And I felt bad. I felt really guilty. And in fact, I was the one that put a stop to it. Not that I'm a hero.
Yeah.
But I still don't think it was my, like, if the guy was going to be like, oh, this is your fault? I'd be like, is it my fault? Talk to your girlfriend. It's her fault.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I wanted to say.
Wouldn't you love to travel without the actual, you know, traveling part? For example, I want to go to Lisbon, let's say. I just snap my fingers. I'm there. No driving to the airport. No flight delays. No fools at security who still don't know that, yes, you need to take your laptop out of your bag and place it in the tray. Oh my God, how long have we been doing this? Travel without traveling. I want it both ways, but that's not possible. It is with Mack Weldon, though. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But this is possible to have it both ways.
Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got it all. I got the Air Knit underwear. I got the Ace Collection sweatpants. I've got the Silver Peak polo. Everything fits perfectly. All I get is compliments. Mack Weldon has figured this stuff out. Because performance fabric usually means clothes that look or feel sort of techie or shiny. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of a busy life. They look like regular clothes, which is good. I want regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with the promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Trey, there's only one thing left to do, and that's play Subjective Trivia. Oh yeah, Subjective Trivia. It's just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. Why was I thinking about this, Trey? I don't know, because we're talking about GQ and convertible pants and what the clothing we had when we were kids. It took me back to No Fear, the great t-shirt company from the 90s. And so today's subjective trivia question is, what was the best No Fear slogan? So if you remember, these were t-shirts, and just in big block lettering on the back, they had sayings, I guess you could say. So JD, if you could please put up the thing. All right, you have five options to choose from. First one. So Trey, actually, I'll read the slogan, and then could you add No Fear at the end?
Yeah.
Okay. Second place is the first loser.
No fear.
Second one. He who dies with the most toys still dies.
No fear.
Third one. You'll never steal second with your foot on first.
No fear.
If you're not living on the edge, then you're taking up too much space.
No fear.
If you can't win, don't play.
No fear. I was trying to give you like a different voice based on the fonts that it was written in.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Okay, again, subscribe on YouTube just to see those fonts and how Trey interpreted them with his voice. All right, so your options are second place is the first loser, he who dies with the most toys still dies, you'll never steal second with your foot on first, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space, and finally, if you can't win, don't play. I mean, Trey, as you're thinking about this, did you have any of these?
I think I had a No Fear shirt, but I don't think I had any of these ones. I don't remember what other ones there are, but I feel like I had a No Fear shirt. I definitely had, I don't know if you remember, like, those Mossimo shirts, and they'd have, like, blurry writing on them. Those are a big one, too. Slogan shirts. Man, these are tough. There's a few I like, and the few that, like, kind of strike me as classics of the genre, like He Who Dies With The Most Toys Still Dies.
Right.
Weird. What's with that? That's very biblical, isn't it? It's like, when man departs this world, he takes with him neither silver nor gold.
You can't take it with you.
Yeah.
Can't take it with
you. What was the first one, JD? Can I see it again real quick? Second place is the first loser, and if you can't win, don't play. Those ones are kind of similar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
What's the question again, Matt? Is it the one you like the most?
Which one you like?
No, which is the best one.
Oh, the best one. Okay, all right, cool.
Okay. Man, this is...
I guess you could think of it as the one I like the most.
Yeah, which one of these would you wear? None.
You'll never...
Okay, none of these, but... I don't think it's going to be the baseball one. Too specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also, like, you'll never steal second with your foot on first. what if I'm really fucking fast?
Yeah, gotcha. What about taking a lead off? It's allowed. Okay, for I think the one I'm going to vote for, if you're not living on the edge, then you're taking up too much space.
Yeah, that's jumped out to me.
That one jumps out to me.
Okay. JD, you're agreeing with that?
I think so. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, I think, I think second place, steal second, and if you can't win, those three are all probably too, like, athletically focused to me, where it's specifically kind of about sports, even though maybe not necessarily. He who dies with the most toys still dies. It's a competitor, but I like living on the edge, taking up too much space, just because that's just a good life.
Yeah.
Good little bit of life advice right there.
Well, this hasn't happened in a while. But you got it right!
Yeah!
You're not living on the edge! Then you're taking up too much space.
I'm honestly proud of that. I don't think I've ever gotten one right before. Yeah, I didn't think it could be done.
No, it can be done.
I feel like I hear people striking out all the time on this one now.
It's been a while, I think. Yeah.
It's been a while. How would you feel like, let's say these come back into style, and your daughters are sort of moving into this adolescent age. How would you feel about them wearing a shirt that said, second place is the first loser?
They are coming back, are they not? Like, the No Fear, are they back?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Why not? I mean, I know Mitchell and Ness just did their And One shirts.
Yeah, that's
I follow Big Dog's clothing brand on Instagram, and they just put up one of those, like, you're scrolling through your feed, and you're only seeing, like, a chunk of a dog, and then you go to their profile page, and it's got... the entire grid is filled up with one of the big dogs. So
hey,
those
are
coming
one
back,
big dog, and he's red, and his name's Clifford.
Yeah.
So you would feel okay with it?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I guess it would depend on my kids' personalities at that time. I can't imagine either of them wearing something so aggro at this point.
Yeah, I can picture both my kids wearing all of these shirts. So... But there you
are. All right, JD. Well, when we're done here, hop on eBay and get him a No Fear shirt.
I should.
Are they affordable right now? Because I was looking up Big Johnson t-shirts earlier this week, and those are expensive. It's like $100 for a Big Johnson shirt. I guess.
Really?
But you can get the new versions for like $30.
What was the one? Did you have your eye on a specific Big Johnson?
There's an NBA one that's awesome. It's got like...
What is it?
I forget what it... I was just looking at it the other day. I forget what the slogan was. But there's like... You know, it's a Big Johnson doing a cool slam dunk. And in the background, it's like little hand-drawn pictures. And it's like a picture of Shaq, a picture of Allen Iverson. Clearly unlicensed, but you can tell who they're supposed to be. Mm. And I think it was going for $150 on Etsy, which...
But was there like a penis pun like there is usually
in course.
Those?
Of course.
I know. I'd love to hear what it... Okay, I'm going to try to find it right now.
Yeah, let's see. You'll always be the big man inside when you're slamming the Big Johnson. These are real shirts.
So stupid. So dumb. Do you know how the Big Johnsons had like a whole thing written on the tag? Like the tag where it's like the size.
Yeah, gotta always wash your Johnson.
Yeah, it says wash your Johnson in warm water and dry on low. Don't bleach your iron. Don't wring out your Johnson or beat it on a rock. Show it off daily. Big Johnson. Trademarked. Oh, and it has an... Do you notice the incredibly busty woman on top of the backboard?
Oh, yeah. She was always showing up. She's part of the crew.
That's how the Johnson gets so big.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Get all your kids Big Johnson shirts.
And look, who do you see here? There's like there's Charles Barkley. I see Penny Hardaway. Larry Bird, it looks like. A Globetrotter. Bobby
Knight.
What
about Larry Johnson? He was a Big Johnson.
Larry's a Big Johnson.
The Larry Bird is hilarious. Is that like Red Auerbach? Here's a show idea for you. I want you to analyze this t-shirt on No Dunks. Go through the people.
Sounds like a short at least.
All right. Well, Trey, I think that's it for us. Where can people find you on the No Dunks feed discussing Big Johnson t-shirts?
Yeah, you can find us on the No Dunks feed discussing Big Johnson t-shirts. And Matt, I'm also launching a new podcast. It's about bringing home incense that your spouse hates. It's called Unpopular Pinions.
Yeah. Perfect. Remember to check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/isthisgood. If you have topics, email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe on YouTube. Thanks for listening. Thanks to JD. Thanks so much to Trey for coming on. Thanks in advance for leaving a 5-star review for everyone. I'm Matt Austin, and this was Good. We'll see you next week.